Excellent. So, we've spoken to businesses in Greece which are succeeding now. We've just spoken to a startup that's doing very nicely in the centre of Athens. In your opinion, though, you're there. Is that the general trend?
Oh, I only wish it were. The general trend is one of gloom and doom. If you think about it, we have a bankrupt government which is being forced by its creditors, its international creditors, to pretend that it's not bankrupt and to set fiscal targets that are impossible to meet. And of course, this means that when a government is setting itself fiscal targets that are impossible, it is essentially announcing to businesses that it will carry on increasing the taxes and charges that it imposes upon them in an environment where aggregate demand is continuing to fall, investment is negative, banks are snowed under 52 to 54% of non-performing loans and therefore cannot lend even to profitable firms. And you have the absurd situation where companies have to pay a year in advance their estimated tax in full, 100% of it, in an environment of low demand and no credit. When a few hundred miles north of Athens in Bulgaria, the tax rate is one third, and companies do not have to labor under those absurd circumstances.
So you're actually saying that the government is making the situation worse for the average business owner, the average man or woman in the street?
I wouldn't say that. It's not something the government wants to do. My former colleagues in government know very well what I'm telling you, as does the International Monetary Fund, the European Central Bank, the European Commission. No one is under any illusion that this is just failure in action. The Greek government doesn't want to do this, but it is imposed upon it by the deal that it was forced to sign in August 2015. And if you look at that deal is very clear. We have to reach a fiscal target of 3.5% of primary surplus, which is impossible to do in a broken economy without keeping ratcheting up the corporate tax rates.
What essentially the international community asked Greece to do, and surely it's not unreasonable, is that Greece should collect only, should spend only a little bit more than it's collecting in taxation. Why is that a problem?
Well, that was what I was proposing to the creditors, and they rejected it. What I was proposing was that Greece should never go into a deficit again, that we should have a small primary surplus of 1.5% of GDP, which is manageable. It is doable without destroying, suffocating the private sector.
But 3.5% isn't that much more than one and a
Oh,
half percent, is it?
it is hugely larger. It is utterly unfathomable, and you don't have to take my word for this. The International Monetary Fund agrees entirely with me. Now that I'm out of government, now that they have managed to push the government into accepting the 3.5% target, the IMF has come out repeating what I was saying when I was in government, that anything beyond 1 or 1.5% is beyond the pale. And it is beyond the pale. Remember, no government has managed to maintain in perpetuity, almost 10 years at least, a primary surplus of 3.5%, especially at the time of a dead deflationary spiral.
The alternative, of course, would have been, and a lot of Greek people wanted you to do this, would have just been to say to all the people who've lent money to Greece in the past, hang the lot of you, we're not paying, we're going to default on the whole lot, and we're going to start again. Why didn't you do that?
Well, let's get one thing straight. My mandate, the one that I had from my voters, was to go to the creditors and propose to them a sensible debt restructure and a sensible fiscal and reform policy that would allow Greece to repay to them the maximum that it can. The tragedy of the loan agreement that was imposed on the Greek government, that is why I resigned, because I couldn't possibly sign up to it. The tragedy of it is that they're not going to get their money back now under the provisions of the deal that they imposed upon the Greek government. Remember, John Maynard Keynes criticized the victorious Allies after the Great War. in relation to the Versailles Treaty, not for being cruel to Germany, but for being quite idiotic by imposing conditions on Germany, on the defeated.
Yes.
That in the end would bite back.
You're in arguably a similar situation. Why didn't you just, rather than stringing the agony out for years, why didn't you just say, we haven't got the money, we're not paying you back, and we're starting afresh now?
Can I possibly remind you that I was the finance minister and not the prime minister? That was my recommendation to the prime minister. On the night of the referendum, when the Greek people, as you mentioned, gave us a 62% mandate, a remarkable mandate, to do precisely as you say, the prime minister in his office said to me, it is time to surrender. And I tried to dissuade him. I spent 3 hours, more or less, trying to dissuade him. I failed, and then I submitted my resignation.
If President Obama is listening to this interview, what's your message to him? What's the one thing he could do that would help Greece out of its hole?
Oh, precisely nothing. I had a discussion with President Obama in April of 2015 when I was a minister in the White House. We agreed entirely. He used rather unpresidential language by which to describe austerity and the policies that were imposed on the Greek state. But as I mentioned to him in the White House, his Treasury Department was not towing the Obama line. And it continued not to. In the end, we did not get any help in our negotiations with the International Monetary Fund, with Brussels and with Berlin and Frankfurt from the American side. That was a time when President Obama could have backed his words with actions to support a Greek deal that would make sense for Greece and for Europe, and indeed for America. He didn't. This trip now, I'm sure, is a very pleasant one, but it is utterly irrelevant.
Yanis, if you could press stop on your recording device, that was a fascinating interview. Thank you so much.